Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about the grace of God, and I can't think of a better topic to talk about than the grace of God. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley joins us today. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Great to be with you.
Well, awesome. We started on Monday of this week talking about a passage out of the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And it's a powerful passage, and Paul is astonished. Something is happening there in Galatia that is so scandalous, it brings astonishment to Paul's heart and his soul. And so he's calling them on the carpet, and he's saying, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And here's some strong language, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. That is really strong language. And so I posed the question on our Facebook page and Twitter feed the other day, would Paul be astonished at the church today? Would he have that same sense of astonishment that people in the church today are so quickly deserting the one who called them to live in the grace of Christ? And I think the answer is a resounding yes, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he would say, you foolish Americans, you foolish Canadians, you foolish citizens of this world, even today, 2,000 years later, Bob, because we get so easily distracted. We hear a message, a solid message about Jesus, the cross, the resurrection. Next thing you know, I mean, even here in West Texas, where I live, you know, you've got well-meaning, well-intentioned churches that are inviting people to, you know, study about Old Testament feasts and festivals in order to then participate in those, in order to then enhance their Christian faith and enhance their walk with God. And, you know, people get into Sabbath observance and they get into all kinds of law-based things, and they don't even realize what they're doing. They're adding to the gospel and twisting it and distorting it. And if we're not careful, as Paul said, we end up with a gospel that's no gospel at all.
Yeah. And that's exactly what was happening. These Judaizers, and that's what they were called, would come into the province of Galatia or other provinces where Gentiles had come to know Christ Jesus. And they would bring a message and say, you know, we're so happy for you that you have accepted Christ, but if you really want to be a Christian, you need to be circumcised and you need to follow the customs of Moses.
Yes.
So they added a yoke, that, as Peter said, that neither we nor the Gentiles could bear. So why are we doing that? But that was their message, and they were giving it in such a persuasive way that, you know, folks were saying, well, that must be the case. And so these Gentiles started following Jewish customs. And that's exactly what you were talking about as far as the folks you know out in West Texas. They are trying to put a layer on this gospel of Jesus Christ to enhance their experience, when in Christ you have everything that you need for life and godliness. When are we going to settle that issue? When are we going to come to grips with the fact that Jesus is actually enough for everything that I long for in life?
Yeah, I think we're seeing it in the younger generations, guys. I mean, history has a tendency to repeat itself. And what I'm seeing is the younger generations, college age and on, you know, teens and 20s, there is this desire to be scholarly and probe more deeply into spiritual content. And with that desire, which can be healthy, we might then overcomplicate the gospel. And we, you know, start focusing on rituals and rules and regulations. And we think that if we study the depths of Judaism and add that into our faith, that somehow we're going to have Christianity on steroids or something. And there's this movement today. And, you know, it's been around, but I feel like it's gaining prominence in some regard. And so I think Paul would be just as frustrated today with people as he was back then. Maybe they're different distractions in some ways, but, you know, I think ultimately if we don't know the fullness of the gospel, we don't know how good we've really got it, then we can find ourselves bored, complacent, and looking for something else. And that's when an enemy message can really come in and distract us.
Yes, indeed. So getting back to what Paul is saying, that God has called us to live in the grace of Christ. That's the message. And that's where we're going to find our deepest sense of joy, our greatest sense of contentment, and our richest reward as far as our relationship with Christ is concerned. Any departure from the grace of Christ is really a departure into not good news, but bad news.
Yeah.
Not something that's going to bring joy to the heart, but it's going to bring misery to the soul. That's why it's so vitally important, I think, for people out there to really support the proclamation of the simplicity of the gospel, of just the basic gospel of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Within that message is everything that we need for life and godliness. And let me add one other little piece to this puzzle, so to speak. The reason that we chase after different gospels or different messages is because inside we want to find acceptance. Now, we want to find acceptance with God. That's true. But there's this drive and this desire to be a part of the in crowd as far as people are concerned. And I think that's why Paul kind of ends this section with this verse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So often we chase after these things because we want to be part of the in crowd. We want to be a part of what the so-called leaders are saying we must do or we must be to be the Christians we're supposed to be. That's what was happening back in Galatia. That's what's happening today. There are leaders who are saying these things. They're persuasive. They're charismatic. We think, wow, they must know what they're talking about. So whatever they're telling me to do, I think I need to go do that. The cults are formed that way, and that's why we have to recognize that it's all about Jesus, isn't it? And that, you know, he has already told us that we are approved in his sight. He has already made the ultimate announcement of good news to our souls, that we stand holy and acceptable in God's sight because of his finished work. That's what we need to rest in, rely upon, and when we do, our joy is just going to explode. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. I want to remind our listeners of a wonderful resource that we have this month only. It's a CD set that Richard and I did entitled Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. If we're called to live in the grace of Christ, we better know what the grace of Christ is all about. And once we know what the grace of Christ is all about, then we can see that grace being lived out in and through us. That's what we need in our lives. That's what the world needs to see as far as an answer to the problems that everyone is facing in this world today. So we want to put that in your hands. It's a very important resource. It's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. And in making a gift to Basic Gospel, you're helping us reach more people with this grace of Jesus Christ. So when you give generously so that others can hear this good news as well, and request your copy of our resource, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. You can go to our website at basicgospel.net and just click the donate button there, or you can call our order line right now, 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. So call today, give today. We need your help. People out there need this gospel. They need your help as well. So stand with us today. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this. You were talking Monday about the parable about Jesus, and they were trying to trap him by calling him a good teacher. And, my mind's freezing up. And you all said that he was claiming to be God when he made that statement. I thought he was talking about Yahweh. And how do you all come to that conclusion?
Good question, yeah. Mary Jo. And I think you're referring to our daily devotional that we send out. And the story that we reference was out of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus, as it says in Mark 10:17, Jesus started on his way, and a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So it's a legitimate question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But Jesus stopped, and he gave some preference to that phrase, good teacher. He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So there's a subtle statement that Jesus is making right there, that if he accepts the fact that this guy is calling him good. Why? Because he is God in human flesh. And I think he was trying to make the point to this rich young ruler, just who he was talking to. I mean, he isn't just a good teacher. He's not somebody that has good moral ethics or that sort of thing, although he does and he is. But Jesus himself is God in human flesh. So if that rich young ruler understands that Jesus is God in human flesh, then he ought to listen to what he says.
Yeah.
And that's the same for all of us. If we really know who Jesus is, then we ought to listen to what he says. And if he says he's forgiven our sins, we ought to take that for face value. He's forgiven our sins. If he says he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, we ought to take that for face value. Why? Because he's God. And if he's promised he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, guess what? He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. If he says he's declared us righteous in his sight, what does that mean? That he's declared us righteous, yes, in his sight. So Jesus wanted this guy to know exactly who he was asking. And that's why he stopped and paused and said, "Let's examine this phrase that you put out there, good teacher. If you're calling me good, what you're calling me is God, because there's no one good except God alone." Andrew, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think you nailed it. I mean, it's his authority, it's his identity, and he's revealing that in a roundabout way. I mean, Jesus is a stumbling block to many. People wonder why he spoke in parables. People wonder why he answered questions with other questions. But he's getting people to think. And this rich young ruler thinks he's a pretty smart guy. In fact, he thinks he's a pretty competent guy. You know, "Look, Lord," or "Look, teacher, I've done all these things, all these commandments. I've kept them since I was a little boy." And Jesus very wisely says, "Here's one more thing. Just go sell everything." You know, today that would be put all your stuff on eBay, and then you can enter the kingdom of God. And this guy, it was too much for him. And so Jesus isn't looking to just always make friends and influence people in positive ways. Sometimes there's some tough love going on. He looked upon this man and he loved him, and yet he spoke to him in roundabout ways to get him to think, who am I? Who do you believe I am? And what do you believe is the way to heaven? Do you really believe it's through the commandments? So he took a smart man and he challenged him and he asked him to really reshuffle the deck and rethink his belief system. And, it's amazing to look at it. It shows the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and his ways are above our ways.
Mary Jo, does that help?
Well, it got a little bit deeper than I thought.
Well, just the fact that he said, good teacher, that's what Jesus jumped on and said, no one's good except God alone. So if you're calling me good, then you must be calling me God.
Okay. All right. Well, I love your program, and you're a blessing, and keep up the good work, and I'll be sending a donation in.
Well, thank you, Mary Jo. God bless you. Thanks for helping reach out and connect the love of Christ to other people around this country and around the world. We sure appreciate your support. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, we had a call come in from Bellingham, Washington through our CSN affiliate,
yes.
And I think it's a very good question. We're going to go to that right now.
Hi, guys. My name is Mark. I'm from Bellingham, Washington, and I just discovered you on CSN, and you come in the evening there, but very thankful and blessed by your program. You guys are just right on, and I want to encourage you in that. Preaching the good news by grace through faith alone, and I'm so thankful. My question is regarding Jews versus Gentiles. In some of the letters, as Paul talks in Romans and the beginning of Ephesians, Romans 8 and Ephesians 1, I can't tell if some places he's talking regarding just to the Jews, and then other places to the Gentiles. And something I've struggled with for years is the foreknowledge of God, predestination, chosen, that thing. And I know that God's people were Israel back in the Old Testament, and people designed to bear his name. And so I don't know if some of that is referring to Jews, but now that by grace through faith everyone can inherit salvation, but those who are predestined are foreknown, as Romans 8 talks about in Ephesians. And then he says, you also, when you believed and had faith, that you came, you were sealed and baptized in the Holy Spirit also, and he talks to Gentiles. So there's some places where it looks about telling Gentiles to stand firm in the faith till the end, and other places where he's talking specifically to Jews. For those whom God loved, he also foreknew and loved. And something I've struggled with for years and gone back and forth on, and just try to figure out the wording there. So I'd like some clarity on that and encouragement. Thank you again so much. I've just been so blessed by you guys. And yeah, my favorite program now. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Mark. We appreciate that you found us and that you've allowed us to be a part of your life. And, guys, I love the way he couched this question. You know, normally when you hear questions about foreknowledge or predestination, it becomes a very theological debate on which position do you take. Are you a Calvinist? Are you an Arminian? That sort of thing. But he really is talking about Jews and Gentiles. That's what Mark is asking about. He's trying to figure out is Jesus talk or the apostles talking about Jews being saved, individuals being saved, Gentiles being saved, what is it? So I think that's a very good reading of those passages from his perspective. So what is Paul talking about here in Ephesians 1 and Romans 9, 10, and 11? Is he talking about God choosing individuals? You know, I choose you to be saved, but I don't choose you. Or is he talking about something much bigger, something much broader, and something that Jews would have never known as far as their understanding of how God would work in this world today?
Yeah, well, you know, as we look at Ephesians 1:4, it says he chose us. And, you know, when we read a word like us, guys, we would normally put ourselves in the verse. Hey, that's me. He says us, so I must be in that. But what we really find very quickly in Ephesians 1 is that there's an us and then there's a you. In fact, there's an us and then there's a you also. So I think he's dead on in noticing that this is about Jews and Gentiles. Paul is saying in verse 4, he chose us. In verse 5, he predestined us. In verse 12, we were the first to put our hope in Christ. That would be the Jews. They were the first to put their hope in Christ. The Gentiles came later when Paul visited them and started sharing this gospel with them. So the us and the we in chapter 1 would be Jews. And then in verse 13, we see, and you also were included when you heard this gospel. And then in chapter 2, it says, as for you, you were dead, meaning you Gentiles were dead spiritually. And then chapter 2, verse 3, he says, all of us also, all of us Jews, we too were dead. It didn't matter if we had the law or didn't have the law, we were all dead. Like the rest, we were dead. Then verse 11, you who are Gentiles by birth, you were separate, you were far away, but now God has made the two groups into one, verse 16, to reconcile both of them, peace to you who were far away, that would be Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, that would be Jews, through whom we both have access to the Father. So Gentiles are now heirs together with Israel, chapter 3, verse 6. So these first three chapters, guys, it's crystal clear that the context is Jews and Gentiles. And so when we look at predestination accurately, what we're really seeing is that this Apostle Paul is defending his job. His job is to go preach to Gentiles. Why? Because God has called the Gentiles also to salvation. Why is Paul needing to defend himself? Because, you know, people don't realize this yet, that there was a secret hidden plan buried in the Old Testament. There was prophecy about these people who were not God's people, that someday they would be God's people. And so predestination is really God's secret plan to choose Gentiles for salvation. So now, as Romans puts it, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And that would be, you know, vessels that were destined for wrath. That would be Gentiles. And also, you know, these Jewish vessels who had all along been God's people. Now Jews and Gentiles are both called to believe. And my goodness, that's a unifying message, not a divisive one.
Absolutely. Yes. And, if you carry that through Romans 9, 10, and 11, you see the same thing. If you see the context that he's talking about Jews and Gentiles, people groups, it all fits together. And as you said, it really is one of the most unifying messages in the New Testament. It is really, really powerful. So, Mark, thank you for calling. We appreciate that. We're going to go quickly to North Idaho and talk to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind today?
Okay. Well, within my little group, there's been a lot of discussion lately about how to go about forgiving other people. And I'm hearing a lot of different formulas and whatnot. And it just doesn't seem right to me. So I'm just curious to know what you think.
Well, Paul puts it this way, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you. And I think the key thing there is that God initiated forgiveness. He didn't wait. He went and did something on our behalf. And so we extend that same kindness, that same graciousness to others who have offended us. We go to them, and based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, we forgive. We extend that forgiveness. We know that justice has already been dealt with. That's already been absorbed in the work of Christ, and that frees us to actually be gracious to those that have offended us. So we forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. We take the initiative. We leave the results of that in God's hands. And from there, we're at peace. So I think it's a very, 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 very simple thing. But I've written about that in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I would love to put that in your hand. So let me put you on hold,
you know,
Jennifer.
I have been reading it. I have it, and it's really fantastic. What part of the book is that?
page 115, Forgiving Others, is the is the heading. So
there you go.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for your call. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew, thanks for being with us today. Richard, always a joy to be in studio together. And
yes.
Thank you for joining us as well. We'll be here tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, go to our website, basicgospel.net, click on the donate link, and request your copy of our wonderful resource this month, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for joining us.